let us begin. We're up to this working out. We're up to. Let's go to Spain. Okay. We're up to Perek Gimel, new Perek. It's a very short Perek, and it it's a new Perek, deals with some similar issues. Vayomer is on page 42. Vayomer Hashem, Eli Hashem said to me, O Lech Ehav Isha, I want you to marry a second woman. Till now, he was married to the Zoyna, this woman he married her, that she had a record of being a Zoyna, and he had from her three children, Yisrael, Loi Ruchama, and Loi Ami. Now Hashem says to Yosha, I want you to take for yourself a second wife.
So he's still married to the first.
Yes, he is. He's still married to the first, and now he's married second. Vayomer Hashem Eli, Oid Lech Ehav Isha, I want you to love a woman. Ahuvas Rea. Now there are going to be two different approaches to what this means. Either this is a description of the woman. The woman you are to marry was a woman who in the past was loved very much by another man. Or it means, and let's go further, Ahuvas Rea Umino Efes, a woman who in the past was loved by another man, and although she was loved by her husband, no reason to stray, she did. She committed adultery. Or it could mean that Hashem is telling Moshe, I want you to go marry a woman who has no record, but I'm giving you a prophecy that this woman you're going to marry has tendencies, will one day commit adultery. I want you to be to her an Ahuvas Rea. Rea here has a connotation, means a very intense love. And Rea means a friend.
How does the Kodesh Baruch Hu this man, telling him she's going to go sin as she's married to you? How does it sin?
Well, what are the previous parak? How about that? Why?
It didn't start off.
She was already a Zona. How could a Hoshea a Tzaddik go marry a woman who's a Zona? So here, okay, you're right. The questions are—I don't know the—I don't know the answer. Absolutely. Okay. Now, a variation of what I told you—the third shot. And this is the Malm. The Malm really is the most satisfying. I think.
I thought the first one, at least, she straightened out.
No, it says according to most of the Farshim that Yechezkel did not even know with certainty that his children, Yisrael, Loi Ruchama and Loi Ami, were his own. There was a real possibility that the children that he had with her were not even his, because since this woman, his wife, was out, doing who knows what, so he didn't know. He really did not know that these were his legitimate children. He could have been raising mamzerim. And then Hashem told him, "Okay, go divorce her. I want you to get divorced because you know what are you doing? What do you?" And Yosheya says, "I can't. I can't afford alimony. I can't. I'm committed to her." Okay, I'm committed to her. I just can't go and divorce her. It's not so simple. So Hashem says, and is it simple for me to divorce, to exchange Klal Yisrael for another nation? That's how this whole thing started. This whole thing started with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, where Hashem says to Hoshea that I had enough Klal Yisrael. So Hoshea says, okay, if you had enough of them, so it's time for a fresh start. Turn over a new leaf in life. Get rid of them. And take for yourself a new nation who will be the Am HaNivcha. So Hashem says, "Oy, Rachmana Litzlan, you have no Rachmanis. Why don't you try it? Why don't you go? Let me put you to the test. Why don't you go take for yourself a wife who is not 100%. Let's see how easy it is for you to divorce her, and then you'll tell me what to do about Klal Yisrael." So here we are continuing in the same theme. Hashem is telling Moshe to take it from himself a second wife. Now, according to the Malbim appears to be, at least to me, the most satisfying. Hashem over here is telling Moshe, I want you to take for yourself a woman, but don't marry her. Just basically have an affair with her. You're a married man. You're married to the Zoyna. I want you to have a new relationship with a woman, and she should be your Re'ah, a friend, a companion, but don't marry her. Keep it secret. This is not your wife. Your wife, you already have a wife. This should be for you just a woman that you have an affair with. And then what's going to be shocking is, even though you think that you're having this relationship where there is an expectation that when a man has an affair with a woman, she's loyal to him, she does not have affairs with other men. He has such a chutzpah. A person is a married man, he has a wife, and then he has on the side an affair with a woman. And then that woman goes and she has an affair with another man. So the man, the first man, says, "How dare you? How dare you? I thought we were committed to one another." So she looks at him, "I'm committed to you. What about you to your wife? If you're not committed to your wife, I have to be committed to you." So he says, "Yes. Yes, you do. I think that does, just because I'm married doesn't mean that we don't have a relationship." So that's the whole story here. So what it's referred to, I'll just tell you the whole thing in a nutshell. We see it inside. This is the Malma. I'm jumping way ahead because the Malma, to me at least, you know, it's the most appealing. The whole interpretation is that Hashem, there are two different stages in our relationship with Hashem. When there was the Beis HaMikdash, it was as if we were married to Hashem. But what did we do? We strayed. We strayed from Hashem. We committed adultery. We strayed. We worshipped idols. So what did Hashem do? Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Destroying the Beis HaMikdash was as if Hashem gave us a bill of divorce. He gave us a divorce. Now we are in Golus. In Golus, Hashem continues to have a relationship with us, but outside the framework of marriage.
As a friend?
As a friend, a Reah, a lover. Okay, the Baruch is having with us in Golos, he's no longer married to us. Because if he was married to us, we would have a Beis HaMikdash, we would have sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, everything would be good. But because we're not legally married to Hashem, Kaviyachol, in this interpretation, so our relationship with Hashem in Golos is like a relationship of a man and a woman who are together, living together, Kaviyachol, and are not married.
Was this after the first Beis HaMikdash or the second?
Both. So you can learn.
So the 70-year period. What was
that's what it was.
Hashem Zareah.
Hashem Zareah. Yeah.
The Shekhinah never came back to the second Beis HaMikdash.
In Hanami, the second marriage was not the same as the first marriage. The first marriage was a much more intense love. The second marriage is not the same. And in the 70 years of Golus, so we did have a relationship. And likewise, in Golus now, there is a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not the same. It's not on the level of a marriage. And yet, even so, Hashem demands from us, listen, we are together. If we are together, I don't want you to stray and have an affair with someone else. And even in this relationship, we are not faithful. We have other dealings with other people, other men. And that is the complaint of Perek Gimel. That's what we're doing now in this parak, according to the parish of the Malbim. Okay, so I jumped ahead. We tried to go decipher what exactly, who is this woman, what exactly is the relationship, and most importantly is what is the meaning of the word Ahuvas Rea Umino Ofes. Does this mean that the woman in the past was Ahuvas Rea Umino Ofes, or does this mean that this woman will now be too Hoshea as in the future a woman who is an Ahuvas Rea Umino Ofes? And if it does mean in the future, Ahuvas Rea Umino Ofes, what exactly does that mean? Define more precisely the nature of this relationship. That's the question. That's Machloikas. They're going to be two major perushim what this means. So then the pasuk goes on to say, Ahuvas Hashem es b'nei shel. Now this the woman who's called the Ahuvas Rea Umino Ofes is going to be a metaphor for the love between Hashem and b'nei Yisrael. V'heim poinim el Elohim Achirim. When it says Ahuvas Rea, that's a metaphor for that love between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. And when it says the word Umino Efes, that's a metaphor for the fact that in pointing the Elohim Achirim, that they worship gods. The Oyave, and they love Ashishay Anavim. Ashishay means a container, a flask, a jug of grapes. And the most Mefarshim, they explain that normally when a woman, when a person, Ein Adam Chayte V'loy Loy, a person does not do an aveira unless there's a benefit. A person is not so willing to just stray unless it's worth his while. What makes it worth your while? And normally there's an expense. Normally you have to entice someone with giving them a lot of money. You got to make it worth it to them. So wine, a good cup of wine, may indeed be worth a person's, may be worth its price. But grapes, a cluster of grapes in a container, where you first have to crush them, and you have to sift them, you have to filter it, and you have to let the wine sit in for a period of time for it to ferment and turn, become alcoholic and become quality wine, it's not worth it. For a cup of coffee, it's not worth doing the aver. You want to do the aver, you have to make it worth a person's while. And here the Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, shame on you. You were willing to abandon me and to turn away and worship other gods and love them just for a container of grapes. It's not even wine. Grapes. That's how easy it was to convince you to abandon me and do Averos. Okay, let's see what it says in the Mitzudo Stavit. Okay, it's going to be the first of many perushim for this pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos. Let's find the page here. It's on page 45. Okay, 45. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, page 45. Ehav Isha, Hashem is commanding us. I want you to love a woman. Ritzayna Loimar, Tia Yeshara B'Einecha L'Katsha. Mitzudos Tavah learns, not like what we're going to see in the Malbim. He says that I want you to marry her. This will be a real marriage. Ahuv Asreya. Ritzayna Loimar. Ho Isha Tihiye Asher Me'oz Hoysa L'ish Hoysa Ahuva L'Ba'ala. So number two, the second major Yesoid, major principle of the Mitzudos is that when it says Yahuva Sreya, it's the past. This woman has a history. She has a record. She was in the past in a marriage. And the marriage was an excellent marriage. Her husband loved her very, very much. There was no problem. There were no complaints against her husband. Yet, the Imkol Zeh, even though her husband was so good to her, he supported her, he was good to her, he loved her, yet, Chaysa Mino Efes Tachtov, she committed adultery. So this woman is not a good woman. This woman has a record of being very unfaithful woman. It's worse than the previous two Perakim. Perak Aleph, Perak Beis, was a Zona. It does not even say she was married. All it says about the woman in Perak Aleph, Perak Beis was that that Hashem told her she marry a woman who was a Zona, a prostitute. She was never married. And you were never good to her. She was never good to you. You're in a marriage. You support her, and she's not faithful. She never was faithful. She doesn't know what it means to be faithful. No one even she never even had a relationship where a person was good to her, and that's who you're going to marry. In this parak, it's much worse. In this parak, Hashem is telling Moshe, I want you to marry a woman who was in a wonderful marriage, and yet she was unfaithful. It's much more severe. This type of woman is her attitude, her behavior is much, much worse. At least according to the parish of the Mitzudos. And that's
when she's married to somebody else.
She got divorced, obviously. Either the husband died and they got divorced. In Echadayim, we're not dealing with the case where it's a znus. Hashem is telling her to marry her, this means that their husband already died or her husband divorced her. But in the past, she was at fault. And it says now, this type of woman, you're going to marry is going to be a remez. Hashem loves the Jewish people, and yet they stray, and they worship other gods. The Jewish people are compared to this woman who had a very good relationship with Hashem. Hashem was very good to them, and they strayed. The Jewish people, they love cups of wine of grapes, umishtakdim, they become intoxicated, uvehasosas hashichrus, and due to the enticement of being drunk, due to the influence of being drunk, heimer reduf machre eluhim achirim, they pursue gods, ulufishim shilom leisha zoyna ochas beluzeloshim ke yayin nevil deyniof, because we're comparing Klal Yisrael to a woman who was a zoyna, we use these metaphors of wine because wine brings Lidei Niyuf. Okay, so this is the parish of the Mitzudos, to review the Yisoid. The Ahuvas Rea is a description of the woman, of her past record. A woman who was a Rea. A Rea means a friend, but in this context it means she had a husband that loved her. She had, it's an expression which means she had a husband that was her friend, a husband that bestowed upon her love, and yet she was unfaithful. Umino ofes. She committed adultery. You're going to take this woman and you're going to live with her. And you're going to focus every moment that this is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a nation whom Hashem was good to, and they have betrayed Hashem, abandoned Hashem for a container or jug of grapes. Grapes, which according to the Mitzvah simply means which she became intoxicated and committed adultery. Rashi pasuk av sahuvas shreya chaviva al ba'ala v'ahuva lo v'hi mino efes. A woman who is chaviva al ba'ala, who is beloved to her husband, v'ahuva loy, and another expression which the husband loves, v'hi, but she is mino efes tachtav, and she commits adultery. Now according to Rashi, it's not clear. It's not really clear, at least in my limited understanding, if Rashi is following the Mitzudos, that this is a description of the woman. This is a description of the woman in the past. Rashi just says a woman who is chaviva ba'ala, v'ahuva loy, it's a good shirach. Okay, there are some girls all the boys like. Okay, there are certain types of girls the boys like. They just discern there's certain fame, popular girls. So this, I want you to go marry such a type of woman, which will be very easy for you to like her. And what is she going to do? Okay, if I'm assuming now that Hashem is telling me that she has tendencies to betray those people that are good to her. V'hi min o efes tachtov, and this is a mashal for ki avas Hakadosh Baruch Hu el Eretz Yisrael v'hem zayin tachtov Elohim Achirim. They abandon Hakadosh Baruch Hu and they worship other gods. Ashishe anavim. What is the word Ashishe? Perish menachem, one of Rashi's friends who Rashi always quotes. Givie yayin, a container of wine. So he says, not like I told you that it means anavim is grapes. Other mafarshim told you that I told you a moment ago. He learns that anavim is just a metaphor for yayin, for wine. Oyavim lehishtaker, she is an alcoholic. This woman you're going to marry, she's an alcoholic. She loves to get drunk. Lehishtaker b'yeinam ve'inam oiskim b'torah. That's a mashal for Klal Yisrael, children. They love to indulge in the pleasures of this world and waste their time and not be oisik b'torah. Hashem punished Klal Yisrael for exactly this problem. The Jewish people, they drink, they spend the whole time drinking containers of wine. Now let's take a look at who should we look at? Let's look a little bit at first the Radak before we go into the Malbim. Okay, just not going to do the entire thing. Just take a little bit. Radak, page 45. After the Navi, the end of Perek Beis, we learned words of comfort. Hashem is Machazik Klal Yisrael. Shavu Divrei Techach. Hashem returns to Musar. Keneged Bnei Doroi. Hashem is now Yoshea, is now speaking to the people of the generation, the Aseres Hashvatim, who are soon going to go into Golos. That's very common. It's very common for the Navi to switch, to vacillate between Techacha and...
I wouldn't say vacillate, maybe alternate.
Correct, thank you. To alternate between Techacha and Nechama. Okay, Amar Oid. And what does it say? Ki kvar Amar Lo, Hashem told him already in the past, to Parakim Shigach Yeisha Zinunim. The Ata now Dibeloi Moshe Lacher. Hashem is telling him to do something else. The Amar Lo, Lech Ahav Isha, Vinei, Hi Tiye Ahivas Reya. Sha'ata To Havena Vitiye Lo Lureya. Okay, so here it's clear as day in the parish of the Radak, not like the Mitzvahs, and not like Rashi, which is a bit vague. It's clear as day that he learns this, I'll shame her osit. Hashem is telling you, Hashem, that he will come to love this woman. And I'm telling you, Hashem is giving him a prophecy. Hashem is telling him, giving him advance notice. I'm telling you, this woman is going to stray. I'm telling you, this woman is going to stray after other men. The Amashal Harishon Haya. Who is, so now he goes back to explain that who was the Perek Aleph and Beis, who was the Eshes Zinunim, the woman who was a Zona, that he married in Perek Aleph, that was the Mashal Yerov Menavot. V'chaboyim achrov shezanu me'achri Hashem v'hinichu avodas v'es hamidosh they abandoned serving Hashem v'yavdu ha'agolim the two agolim achar kein bo'achov v'chaysif lohara v'osa ba'al v'ashera v'ato chaysif bosh and then came after came achrov and he made things even worse by introducing Baal and Ashera. And now we come to Perigimel and we discuss a new God, V'ata, Chaysif, B'mashal Zeh, Ke'avas, Ho'kel Yisvarech, Hashem Es B'nei Yisrael Mikedem, Ka'odem Ho'iv, Es Ha'isha, Chaviv, Allah, V'shia Ava, G'doy Allah, Ki Loikol, now he goes over here and he says over here, he starts going deep and telling us over here that when it comes to women, telling us a Yisoid, as if we did not know this Yisoid, I don't know, that not every woman is the same. A man does not love every woman the same. Sometimes he can like a woman, sometimes it's lukewarm. Okay, it's like shidduchim. How many dates does it take until you get engaged? Until you want? So isha chaviva love, she ava gedoyla, ki loikol isha yohev adam b'shoven. Not every woman does a person like the same. Commercial of Yaakov. Even none other than Yaakov Avinu. It says explicitly in the pasuk, vayehav Yaakov es Rachel. And Yaakov, he loved Rachel more than Leah. And the pasuk indeed says, Vayar Leah, Vayar Hashem ki sinua Leah. She was hated. Can you talk to say about Yaakov Avinu that he hated Leah? Can you say such harsh words? So what does Rashi say? Yeah, Yaakov did not hate Leah, but his love for Leah was not equal to the love for Rachel. And thus, that is viewed in the person. If you don't love me as much as you love someone else, it's as if you hate me. It's a very powerful statement of the Torah. The Amar David, it says that David, he loved Shaul. Okay, this is a positive, very frightening positive. He loved Yehoinah's son ben Shaul, more me'ahavas nashim. He loved him more than he loved his wives. The Haim Shtei Nasha, now which woman did he love? Shem Hashayu Chavivai Salav. He had two, he had 18 wives. And two of them were extra special. Who were they? I think it was Avigail. Avigail and Michal. I don't know. What? With Michal? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I think they're back, but it's interesting. He had 18 wives. And I think we only know six of them. The Torah only enumerates six of them. And the others are not listed in the Pilakshim. I don't know the answer. But in any event, Hashem is telling us up here is that even though this woman, you're going to come to love her, she's going to be extra special in your eyes. There's going to be very intense love. However, although that's going to be true, you are still, she's going to betray you, and she's going to worship, Klal Yisrael is going to worship other gods. Okay, now I'm going to skip the next part of the Radak. And that's it. So this is how the Radak was shot in this pasuk. So basically, we hear according to what we learned so far, either we're dealing with describing a woman of the past, or we're describing what's going to be in the future. Hashem is giving a prophecy, what's going to happen in this marriage, and it's going to be a mashal for Klal Yisrael. And the Radak just adds in that it's just a different dimension of the mashal. The first pasuk was describing Achav Yarser Sashvatim, and now we're describing what's going to happen in the future. It seems it's not really clear what the Radak said. Now this mashal is just a different. Is the future? It doesn't really say. Maybe it's referring from here and onward. What's going to happen to the Aser Sashvatim as they go into Golus? They're going to continue to stray. They're going to worship other gods, and we know the Aser Sashvatim, they disappeared. Now let's see the Malbim. Malbim is novel. Very, very novel is approached on the stem of this parak, and how we contrast this parak with the past parak. But Pasuk Aleph. Vayam Hashem Elai. Achar HaMashal Gimel. It's on page 44. Achar HaMashal Rishon Shem Shulas Yisrael B'Ke'eshes Ish HaZoyna Mitachas Balon. Parak Aleph and Beis discussing Hoshea, he got married. It was legal. There was a wedding, there was a Masadir Kedushin, they rented a hall, all the bells and whistles. Okay, it was a $100,000 wedding. Everything was there. And then what happened? It wasn't a good wedding. It wasn't a good marriage. The woman strayed. She had children, and he could not even determine with certainty that the children were his children. Maybe the children, the three children he had from this marriage, Yisrael. Loi Ruchama, Loi Ami, maybe they were not even his own children. Now what happens? After we learned the previous Mashal, sheyikach gam kein isha b'derech nisuin, she zoyna mitachas isha. He should go take another woman b'derech nisuin. Okay, another woman which is in the. Now I'm not sure what he means by this because he's going to clearly explain.
Marry her legally.
No, it's not what he's going to say in a few moments. Let's see. B'derech nisuin. It looks like she zoyna mitachas isha. Bo el hanavi tzili acheres. I think that's part of the past. One more time. That's the past. I don't know gam kein, but basically he's clearly defining the past. He's coming over here to explain what happened in Perek Aleph, Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, he was told to take a woman who was a zoyna and to marry her, to do with that woman a derech nisuin, shehi nizoyna mitachas isha. Period. I think there's some corruption of the words.
No,
something.
This is a second.
No, you're going to see now. You're going to see now clearly in the next. It cannot be. That's what he means. It has to mean that it's referring to the past marshal perik alpha perik base. Okay, let's for a moment put that aside. You'll see what I mean. Let's now go further. Lech. Now he says to her in perik gimel. Lech ehav isha huvas reya umino ofes. I want you now to take another woman and not marry her. Like the first woman that you took in Perek Aleph, Perek Beis. See, there's something corrupt. This, the text over there is a little bit corrupt in the first paragraph. And this woman should not v'shlotia eishes ish hazoyim tachas bala rak tia penuya. The woman you're going to take now is not going to be a woman that is going to be a problem of being a zoyna because you're not married to her. I just want you to have an affair with a woman. She'ein lo bal b'derech nisuin, because this woman you're going to marry now, you're not going to be her husband according to the laws of marriage. Rak yesh lo rea, she's going to be your friend. Shehi ahuva mimenu b'yoyser, you're going to be very good friends, such good friends that you're going to live together. Vehi mino efes, and then guess what? Like we explained before, when we started this, before people came, we went through this whole idea before, is that you're going to have an affair with her, and even though you think that she is loyal to you, on the side, she's going to have an affair with other men. So you're going to be very disappointed. Here you're risking your marriage and your reputation because you're a married man, you're a chosh of a person in the eyes of the world. Little do they know that behind the door you're having an affair with a woman. The very least, the woman that you're having an affair with should be loyal to you. But no, not even that. She goes and she has an affair with other men. So this is a marshal for Klal Yisrael in the times of Golos. Let's read further. Second wide line S9, and she will stray from you just for a small gift. Gam im anoshim acherim chutz min horea, besides her friend. The agam shaloi tikore b'shem zoyna ki ein lo bal. We can't go call her a zoyna. He's saying here that a zoyna, it's hard to understand that it's only when a woman is married. A married woman who strays, why is that so? That's not necessarily so. Let's leave it with that for now. Bechol zos hi begedes, she has betrayed her lover. Behorea, ha oyev oysa. Vizeye moshul acher. Now this is very fascinating. This is real power of the Malbim when he's trying to work on the pasuk. How this is different than the previous two parakim. V'zeye mashul acher lahamshul boy isin adas yisrael achar golusam. This is the mashul for Klal Yisrael after the golus. She'osh shulcham Hashem al panav, with the churban beis hamigdash, is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has divorced her. Ubitel es ho'erusin hakoydim v'naseis kipnuya. We're now a single woman. We're now a divorcee. We're back on the market. V'hi acha v'hi. Achash Omar Loy Amiata. This takes place after Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, "You're no longer my nation. I've divorced you." Yet the Meos Himino Efes Ki Loy Zoyna Ki Ein Labal Kavua. And then, even during that period of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to still have a relationship with her. So in other words, our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the time of Galus is not going to be as strong as a husband and wife. It's going to be like a man and a woman living together out of wedlock. So there are no benefits. There are no guarantees.
Although,
what?
Although in the previous phrase, it sounded as though he completely disassociated, Hashem disassociated himself from Klal Yisrael.
Okay, you have to go with a grain of salt. Whatever it means. You have to go with a grain of salt. The Gemara talks about this. Did Hashem really give Klal Yisrael a divorce?
Is there a pasuk, A is a safer crease?
A is, exactly. So there are two pasuk. One pasuk says that Hashem did divorce. It's divorce the kasha. One part Hashem divorced, one part Hashem did not divorce us. So there are different answers to reconcile the contradiction. Okay, but we don't need to come on to that.
So
it's a mashal.
I would have to understand the term zona not in a non-halakhic.
Correct. Correct, exactly. I can't hear everything says literally here. In times of Galus, Hashem still loves us. And therefore, there is an understanding that we should be committed. Although we may not have the bond of a marriage, but at least we should be committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Two people living together still have a relationship.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
And there's a commitment. There's a commitment.
Whatever level that is.
Whatever it is, there is an understanding. And therefore, when one of the partners strays, That's betrayal.
Also, that's also betrayal.
Betrayal. That's exactly what we're saying over here. So in Galus, we don't have the strong marriage relationship, but we still have a very close, unique relationship with Hashem. And if we stray and worship idols or do things that are not fitting in Hashem's eyes, that is considered betrayal. Even though Hashem does not love us like a husband, He still loves us like someone committed in a lover, whatever this means. Shagam sheina havasi alecha b'farhesi. It's not in public. Who oyev oyso mashkiach alecha b'tzina. Hashem still takes care of us secretly. B'teva shbehashkachas nisteres in special hashkacha v'heim, and this v'heim yedim zaynim me'acharav and klal yishol strays. V'zehu she'amar, and this is what it means. Ke'avas Hashem es b'nei Yisrael, and that's what the pasuk here means, that this woman you're going to not have a relationship with her, that you're only going to be b'derech reya, will be a mashal for the love, the ahava that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael in Galus. It's only a love, it's not a marriage. A marriage is a bond. There is no bond. However, there is a commitment. Ke'avas Hashem es b'nei Yisrael she'anim shol ahu v'asreya hu avas Hashem es b'nei Yisrael b'golusam she'enoi ba'al v'arus shalohem ra ke'avas reya es pilakshoy. That's really the key word here. Klal Yisrael in Golus is like Hashem's pilagesh. A pilagesh is a palag, a half shin is an isha, a half isha. What?
There's no kedushin by it.
No kedushin, exactly. No kiddushin. A pilegesh just means that this man, he lives with her, and that's it. There's no kiddushin, he has no commitment to her. If he wants to get rid of her, he has no financial obligation. There's no ksuba. V'shev'oifin zayika ha'ishe'i soliyos raya, ha'ishe'a is being instructed to take a woman to be his friend. Shaloi lo she'tiyah ishtoi. The hanim shol shalom in efes he ma. What is minu b'minefes? He ma shehim poinim el machirim. She even in this relationship she poinim in min Hashem horeya shelohem lavoid avoid the zara. They are not faithful to Hashem. Okay, then he goes on over here and says over here that she goes, she strays after grapes. Okay, I'll read it very quickly. This one is not so. Don't dwell on this. So it took a lot for her. He's saying something very important. In Perek Al Perek Beis, the only time the woman, the wife, would stray is only when it was worth it to her. Because until that point in time, she was receiving from her husband mezonos. The husband paid the bills. He paid the rent, paid the utility, he gave her clothing, food. So she's not so stupid to stray with another man unless the other man is going to give her just as much as what her husband gave her. If her husband gave her plenty and she felt that this man will give her just as much, so then, okay, you know what, it might be worth it to me to do an Avera. But here in this relationship, what we're not getting anything from the husband. The woman who's living with this man, she's paying the rent. She's paying her part of the rent. She has to pay her own bills because they're not married. They're not married. They don't even have a joint bank account. They're totally separate. Totally separate. So what are you really giving me anyway? You're giving me company? Tzafsa? You're doing an Avera and we're together? But what benefit do I really have from you? Nothing. So therefore, if someone will come and offer her even just a chocolate bar, okay? So, okay, I'll do an Avera with you also. What do I have to lose? I'm losing the rent. I'm losing utility bills. What am I losing? I'm losing nothing anyway. So therefore, it's very easy for her to be nichshel in an Avera. So kemo she'amra elch acharei v'havai noisti lachmai. My mind, that was in the past. He'll give me my bread, my water. Ki ata begalus ein lamizonis kevum milim min harayav v'shein abala. Bizman in galus, we suffer from poverty. Okay, most of Klal Yisrael is very poor, even though it looks like in the newspapers people have these multi-million-dollar weddings. You see what goes on in California, having their wedding there. Mamish pisim v'ramses. Okay, that's not Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry to tell you, most people I know struggle to survive. Eretz Yisrael is really, really frightening how poor people are and how desperation. It's frightening. So,
you really think that Rov Klal Yisrael is not both?
Yeah, I really do. I'm sorry to tell you. From what I see, maybe I'm wrong, hope I'm wrong. And even, you got the 10%, maybe there are 10% and people in Klal Yisrael doing very well, over the top, right? 10%, 20, even 20%. That's not, that they make the news. I mean, they make the news.
Which group is the majority of the people, well, I was with the Goyim, I was black, so they were all poverty stricken. Some of them are rich, but they're all poverty.
No, but Jews are very good. They share to a very large degree.
They share.
Goyim couldn't kill less. A guy's rich. In the last, someone told me, who's Baruch Hashem does very, very well. So he's so amazed. He's not really from this community, and he lives here. And he says to me, you know, since I come from L.A., the people there, or not San Diego, I don't know, he told me different parts of California, is where all the Hollywood stars live, and all the super, super, super rich. You cannot even, cannot be masik how wealthy these people are. And all of these people, they live in a mansion, and the mansions are all gated.
With walls.
Are gated. You don't go near these people. You don't come near. He said, Flatbush, he associates, because he deals in business, there are some very, very wealthy people. But you walk into their house, you daven in the same shul, you talk to them, you insult them, you spit on them, you do to them the same thing you do to everyone else. And he says, and their wealth, some of the people that he deals with who are, they're just as wealthy as these people living in these mansions and going to Los Angeles. And the people here that you don't understand, like they share their wealth. I know someone, I was blown away, I could not believe this. I thought this guy, you know, he's a very wealthy guy, you know, he gives a lot of tzedakah. But I only found out recently that there's a family, a big family, who unfortunately is going through very hard times in many different ways. I just found out like a secret that I'm not supposed to know. This guy is fully supporting this family. And we're talking big, big, big bucks. Not talking over here, a few $1,000. We're talking, and like, wow. I could not believe it. So, and I, you know, this guy, you think like he's like a stingy guy, you know, he'll give you $180 for the yeshiva dinner, for this and that. He's giving secretly major money to people that are mamish would be destitute if not for him. Mika Amcha Yisrael. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Goyim, you're not going to find this like by Goyim. Maybe here you find it.
Maybe you will, but not. And similarly, keeping it quiet.
Okay, I take it back. It's true, but I don't think on the same scale. I think that's fair to say because it would be on the same scale. You would know about it. It's not on the Klal Yisrael. Mika Amcha Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem. But on the other hand, we all know very well that it's not easy. It's not easy for anyone. And it says over here that in Galus, look at these very frightening words. It's very frightening words that over here in Galus, according to the Malbim said in Galus, our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is like that of two people living together. They were not married. And if we're not married, what goes on Pukhazi Ma'amad Davar in the Gosha world, people who are not married, the man doesn't pay the bills for the woman. Even when they're married, they don't pay the bills. They have, everything is separate. So what is the benefit of being with a person, living together with a person, not being married? Company. Basically, you have company. You're not alone. But money, there's no tax benefit. No one's paying you the bills. And the Malam is saying something very shocking, that in Golis today, we're on our own. Hashem is not going the extra step to make sure Parnassa is my problem. Typically, it is the man's problem. You know, you never, even today, when all the women work and all the women support their husbands in the modern world, I've never heard when there's a family, when there's no Parnassa, they're blaming the wife why there's no Parnassa. Anytime you have a story, there's no Parnassa in the family, whose fault is it? Why doesn't he get a job? Let him get off his and go get a job. You never heard someone say, why doesn't she get a job? Or why doesn't she get... Does that, why? Because even today, amongst us, the bottom line is, the one who is expected, who's responsible for Parnassa, is the husband. Okay, many times, the wife pitches in, and she does everything. But if there is no Parnassa, the one that's blamed is still the husband, even Bizman Hazeh. And here it says, that Hashem in a marriage, that's the way it's supposed to be. And therefore, if we were married to Hashem, we wouldn't be the ones to suffer so much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would step in and guarantee that everyone has what to eat. Everyone has parnasa. Chefs marchava sadas. Not worrying where your next meal is coming from. And because we're in Golus, we don't have this. And therefore, he's saying over here that for that reason, Klal Yisrael have the attitude, what have you done for me lately? And therefore, if I have a taiva to do an avera, it'll be very easy. I'm not committed. It wasn't so easy to convince Klal Yisrael to do an Avera. Because we realize how foolish we are, because Hashem is supporting us. It's not worth it to us. But Bizman Hazeh, unfortunately, the Nisayon to do an Avera is that much greater, because we don't feel, at least what the Malam says, I mean, it's shocking, if I didn't say a Malam, I would say this, you would say Sapi Kursis to say this. But it says it's the Malam, it's Mamash what the Malam says. That Bizman Hazeh, since we don't feel the commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our back, no matter what, we're on our own to a certain degree. The hashkacha is less intense.
Hester upon him.
So therefore, so what have you done for us lately? So I have a time. I'll do an avera. It doesn't matter. That's what it says. Yeah.
And don't take this the wrong way.
It's okay. I'm going to take it the wrong way. It's okay. Try me.
You said before, I have a couple of questions. One is, I know that there's an Indian that the parnas of a person is decided between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. That's one question. Second question is, so you have a person that thinks that way, exactly what you just said. And then he looks at Nebuch, this guy next to me, he's a Choshev Yid, he davens every day, he learns every day, and he struggles mamish every day. So he says, look, this man, I mean, and this is a guy who's losing his emunah because he's looking at this guy, and he's saying, he's an Eved Hashem, and he's struggling mamish every day. Well, I don't want to be like him. I don't want to. But that's the way Hashem treats people. I'm not going to do it. So he wants to say, I'll do what I want.
Asking the age-old question, Tzadik Viraloi. Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu asked exactly your question to Hashem. Exactly. In your words.
Said you can't know it.
In your words. And Hashem said, there is no answer.
So let's try to
pass it. Narrow
easy down. The lawyer easy tzaddik nezer. Sorry,
Ian
Gadol. Look around the shoulder.
So
sorry,
Ian Gadol. What does that mean? They look in the Aruch Kol and Birchas Hamazon, and they try to give you a few perushim, and none of them are really fully satisfying. What it means? They struggle. They mamash. I remember many years ago. Aruch Kol Birchas Hamazon. It's very good. The last page. They have a few little notes. They struggle. What does it mean? You see, Ma'asim b'chol yoyim. So what does it mean? No, I don't know what it means. Tzadik v'ra loy. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, and Hashem says, there is no answer for you. I'm sorry. V'ponai lo yeru'u. Emunah. Maminim. We are maminim. B'nei maminim. Hashem gave every person the koyach to delve deep down within him, to find the spark of emunah, to keep him going no matter what. I don't know, I have nothing more to say.
Because especially with, I think, gentleman there next to us, you said assimilation. Assimilation is rampant in our...
Well, what?
Assimilation.
Yeah. Is 70, 80% in America. Intermarriage. They lost it.
Why should they? Why should they?
Intermarriage in the United States is over 70%. We're losing. It's frightening. What can I tell you? Why do you have to go look at assimilation? Look at our own lives. We all have questions. It's very hard, and you have to keep your eye on the ball. You have to be a maimon. You have to be a maimon and just go forward with emuna shlema. It's not. No one came into this world for a free lunch. Doesn't exist. Everyone came in this world for a challenge. That's how it is. It's a challenge. Some have bigger challenges than others. And some want to say, people always say this idea that Hashem only gives you a challenge which you can deal with. That's a very hard thing to understand what that means exactly. Rabbi Reisman, I told you this a few times. Rabbi Reisman, he gave a shiur on this, and I have to really go back and listen to exactly what he said. He said, this is what I heard. I told this to people, and people told me that I'd be curious of saying this. But this is what he said. He said in the shiur, it was a private shiur, this was not a shiur, a Mitzvah Shabbos shiur for public consumption. This was a private shiur for about 20, 30 people. And he said, if you say that, that's apikoros. It's because, even though it is a chazal, I have to find how it's worded to understand. You cannot limit Hashem. The Iker Yisoid is Hashem is kol yachol, is infinite, is beyond anything. To say that Hashem is limited in what He can do to you, and He only can give a nesoyin that you can deal with.
You know, he chooses to do so, not because he's limited.
You can't say that Hashem is. You can't go say now Hashem gave me this nesoyin because I can deal with. I would not give me a nesoyin that I cannot deal with. Oh, so you're limiting Hashem. Hashem can only do this and not this. Is that fair to say? Yechazal say loy bo hakadosh baruch hu bitrunya in biri yosef. Hashem did not come to this world to make trouble for you. I don't know what's the good word, bitrunya. Bitrunya means to make trouble for you, to make life difficult for you. Hashem did not put you in this world to shake you up. So how do you balance the two? How do you balance the two? I don't know. That's part of the question. Sadik viraloi.
Now, Moshe Meir-Waters holds exactly the opposite of Rabbi Reisman. And he put it in writing.
Okay.
In the Views magazine. I remember I read it. I think I brought it into it.
I know. Rabbi Reisman said that what he's saying is very unpopular, and it's not something you're going to hear. He introduced me to some of the things he said. But he's saying, how could you limit Hashem? How could you be mimayit when Hashem is allowed to do mimayit? You have to live. It's a very high madrig. It's a very, very high level. It really is. It's something to very strive for. But you know, sometimes when you accept the answers that are very easy way out, then they come back to haunt you. They come back in the future, because when you're going to take a path in life and everything at the end of the day is going to work out. Right, Lara, everything, don't worry, at the end it's all going to work out. So what happens when it doesn't work out? You have to establish for yourself a very solid foundation in Emunah. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the easy ways out, I always hear this today, is Gilgal. Everything is a Gilgal. The reason why everything is happening today is because in your previous lifetime you were a Gilgal, and therefore you have Akit and Misaki and this, Misaki and that. It sounds very nice until you're the Gilgal. When you look at someone else who's going through a tzara, he's a Gilgal. You know why he's suffering? Because of his previous lifetime, A, B, C, and D. And then when you're going through the tzara, you know, it doesn't hold water, being a Gilgal. It just doesn't work out. So when you brought up as a child with Gilgal, and then you have challenges in life, it's not easy. If you brought up emuna pshuta, brought up mamash, you have to be a maimon. You have to be a yerushalayim, be a maimon, and you learn from great people who did not. This is a new thing. I'm telling you now. This is a new thing. The Gilgal is a new thing of this generation. Who never knew from this. They were brought up with incredible emuna, and they were able to go through life like nothing happened. Water off a duck. They say the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim suffered from every tzara. He lost a child. he has poverty. He himself was deathly ill when he suffered mental. People don't want to talk about it. He suffered mental illness when he was a teenager. When he was a teenager, he was institutionalized. People don't even know that. They brush this over. He was institutionalized for a whole year. He didn't wear tefillin. It seemed for a whole year. He didn't learn anything for a whole year. Yeah. When he was a young boy, that's what it says in the art scroll book. It was a translation of a biography. No, they brush it over. I'm sorry, I don't think they even say it. A beryl wine. She gave three lectures years ago. I used to listen to the biographies of Gedolei Yisrael, and his best stuff were the biographies of the Gedolei Yisrael. Rashi, the Rambam, then the modern ones, Chafetz Chaim. Go through them all. He has everyone. And he says things that are not popular. He says on his research, he says things that you're not going to really hear because we can't deal with it. And one of the things that he really emphasized in his 3 hour, I haven't heard this in years, in the 3 hour, made a very big impression on me, in the 3 hours of discussing the Chafetz Chaim, was that when he was young, he was not well. He suffered from depression. Mental illness, not depression that you can solve with a chocolate cake. We're talking about clinical depression. Clinical depression where you need medicine. And in those days, there was no medicine. There was no medicine in those days. So what did they do with people that were clinically depressed? They just basically, they lock you up. Right, they locked you up and you just sat and you slept and you rested for until you snapped out of it, if you ever did. And he, Baruch Hashem, he came out of it after a very long period of time. You're not going to hear this. And he writes about it, and he talks about this, and he says, basically, that's what made him into the Chafetz Chaim. He says, in that tukufa, when he was very young, he saw the world in a very different way. And he hopes that that's what really made him into who he was. Go back, go online. I'm sure you can download it. Probably costs a few dollars. The lectures from a barrel of wine. We just lost a second wife of Beryl Wine. The lectures on Chofetz Chaim, that's how I remember it. Maybe I'm a little exaggerating, maybe not, because I had more than one friend that suffered from clinical depression on all different types of medicines you can even imagine. One person that I know, he used to go, this was many years ago, to the biggest doctor in New York. At that time, he was probably the biggest doctor in the United States. Yeah. And he said about him, he's the third worst patient that he has, which means he's the third sickest person in the country. In the whole country. And the person is totally drugged up, like you can't imagine. But you know, he functions. He functions, ganz fein. He's able to function, to a certain degree. You know, very limited what he can do, but it's amazing. And you deal with people like this. It's frightening. It's very, very frightening. And people who are able somehow to come out of it, I don't know how, whatever, they have a different perspective on this world.
It's cyclical, that's why. Depression is cyclical. They found something in the Cairo Geniza, in the Rambam's handwriting that he wrote, and he wrote that he had a brother who was a...
David.
Yeah, who was a gem merchant and used to go... To
supported
India.
Him.
Right. Used to go to India by boat.
Right.
And there was a catastrophe on the sea, and he died, and the Rambam writes that he was in bed for one entire year and didn't come.
You see that? The Rambam. Depression.
Depression.
Look who Rav David Feinstein. He lost a child, two grandchildren, two great-grandchildren.
I know my mother told me about Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. Rav Shmuel lost a child.
Right.
Yeah. Rashiv Namir. So my mother, so my grandfather, Shmuel Roshavshik, he knew him. So my grandfather went to Menachem Avilim. So I remember my mother told me that when my grandfather came back, he said he never in his whole life went to a Beis Ovel where the Avelus was so thick in the air.
Tangible.
You could mamish slice it with a knife.
Yep.
Came that you never ever saw such intense Avelus. So people go through very great nisyonos. How do you deal with it? I don't know. So you're going to go tell me Gilgulim. It's not fair to teach people about Gilgulim because it's very good for someone else, but when you're going through it, it's not going to work. And you need a life. There are always no one wants challenges. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. But a person has to fortify himself with the emunah when he's young, and the emunah has to be rock solid. And rock solid emunah means emunah pshuta, looking for answers that Hashem can't do this and Hashem can't do that, and it's a gilgul, and everything in the end is going to work out for the good. These are all true. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. What's the ikar? What is the ikar of emunah? The ikar of emunah is emunah pshut in Hashem. And that's what makes people great. Okay, so this over here is very, very frightening. Well, this, yeah? Yeah, yeah.
The Gilgal is the answer that Elihu gives to Eov. In Eov, that's the answer that he brings up. Gilgal.
And he rejects it. He does whatever, okay. There are different interpretations.
The final answer that we can understand. There is no answer at the end.
There are many interpretations. We learn Baruch Hashem, we learn Eiv here together in the Shia. We spend a lot of time on Eiv. Every single pasuk in Eiv is subject to many interpretations. So of course, that is you'll find this idea of Gilgal Neshama is absolutely, you're going to be able to find it in Eiv in many, many, many pasukim. But that's, by the way, that's only one interpretation of, I don't know which pasuk you're referring to. There are many pasukim that you could probably read this into, but look in the Mefarshim. Everyone has a different approach. And not everything that it says there is accepted. Eov responds at the end, after the first one, the second one, and some of the things that it responds also subject to interpretation if he accepts it, or he does not want to accept it. It is the nesayin. It's tzaddik. Viraloi is the nesayin. And in this pasuk here, the Malmal is telling us is that in Golas we are living today. It's a very novelist approach. The relationship is weak, and therefore it creates a much, much greater nesayin to do an avera. We're willing to stray for even a chocolate bar. That's what it says here. Forget about someone paying our rent because we don't have that bond where Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to guarantee us the lechem and the mayim and the clothing, the dagon, the tirosh, the yitzar. We don't have. That's the difference between the malam is really unbelievable, because in Perek Al Perek Beis, the Zoinah says, I'm going to abandon Hashem, I'm going to go after this Avodah the Zar, because he's going to give me the lechem, the yayin, the dogon, the tirosh, the yitzar, the clothing, the wool. And what is the Zayin over here leaving her lover for? Ashishe anovim, an icicle, a pop icicle that's flavored with grape, a popsicle, a grape flavored popsicle is all it takes her to leave her lover, because that's all she's getting from him anyway. So what do I need you for? Frightening. This is what he says is what we're living with now in the Nesoyin of Golos, and we need to have emuna pshuta in Hashem. Okay, so this really concludes. We do the Malbim. Anything else I want to say before we go? We're going to finish up. Let me just take a look over here quickly. I want to mention anything else. We really touched upon everything here. Let me just say a Chazal. Okay, we'll wind up with a Chazal on the bottom. Tomorrow we'll do Pasuk Beis. On the very bottom, page 45, in the Likutei Shas u'Midrashei HaTanoim, this is a popular idea. V'yav Hashem elai oid leicha hav isha ahuvas re'ya u'mino efes k'siv lo yiyye l'cho elohim achrim al ponai u'k'siv negdoi lo yitinof magid ha'kosev shekol mi sha'oivir avod zoro ma'al l'vokosev kilu minayif achar ha'mokam shnemar ho'isha ha'mino efes tachas isho. Tikach es zodim, and then it says, "V'chos vayim Hashem elai oid leicha hav isha huvasreya umino efes." So we're comparing it to thing Yecheskel, and the two psukim really saying the same exact thing: is that to read the Aseres Hadibrois across. Popular drush, a lot of rabbanim like to darshan this, is that why did Hashem give us the Aseres Hadibrois in two columns? Why couldn't Hashem give us the Aseres Hadibrois in one column, one tablet? 10 down, straight down. Why across? Because Hashem wants us to read the Aseres Hadibros across. Lo yia lecha Elohim achirim al ponai corresponds to loy tinof. On the top, Anochi Hashem corresponds to lo tirtzach. Do not murder. And then lo yiyeh lecha, do not worship idols, corresponds to do not commit adultery. Adultery is associated with worshiping idols, is equivalent to loitinuf, and that's exactly, I mean, we don't really, this theme is all over the place. You know, I don't know if there's nothing really unique over here to Hosea. The whole Mishle is based upon this approach with the Isha Zoyna, and he says Yecheskel. Here, I guess, since this is one of the psukim that is actually cited in the Gemara to bring out this idea from the Mechilta, that's why it brings it down. He brings it down over here. Okay, next, the last chazal is ashisha. It means a garb of the chamra. Just as it's a hard word, it's not a common word. It means a container. That's it. Paschal. Tomorrow we're going to begin pasuk base. Stop over here.